There is a hot conversation and topic going on in Youghal at the moment, and that is, of course, the proposed Greenway serving Middleton to Youghal and all areas in between. And then we have the argument about the railway. And to discuss this and try and get some clarity and finality, I suppose, on the situation, I'm joined on the telephone by the Corporate Communications Manager in Rodearn, Mr. Barry Kinney. He joins me on the telephone now. Barry, good morning.
Morning, Jerry.
Thanks for taking the call. You're a busy man.
It happens as well. That's the nature of the railway. There's always something going on.
Yeah, it's going down on the railway. Barry, you joined Irish Rail or in Rodearn in 1994. Where did you work before that?
I came here, believe it or not, Jerry, on a 2-week work placement at the end of college. I did a graduate diploma in public relations and did an unpaid fortnight, and the boss at the time said, do you want to hang around for a few weeks? And that was 24 years ago,
and you're still there. Pardon the pun, but you've crossed many bridges since then, have you?
We have. I mean, there's lots of eras, I suppose, that we've worked through. If you take it back then, we really hadn't seen any serious investment in the railway in a long time. We then had, I suppose, the era of economic growth through from probably the late 90s to the late noughties, where thankfully, I suppose, we were able to completely renew our fleet, do a lot of important safety investments during that time as well. Then, of course, as with everybody else, we suffered a lot during the economic downturn. Our funding was cut by about 40%. Our passenger numbers fell by about a quarter, and that was very, very difficult. I mean, we were close to insolvency during that time, but I suppose these things being cyclical, we're now coming back to an era of expansion. We'll have record passenger numbers this year again, and some of the major investment projects under the National Development Plan will start to kick in now, and they're badly needed because the trains are getting busier.
And before we get into the subject at hand here today, the Cork-Youghal or Middleton-Youghal rail line service, what has been your biggest challenge to date with Ann Rodin?
Oh my goodness. I think, to be honest, I think a lot of it, probably not an individual event more than kind of a broader communications challenge, if you like, it was kind of turning the view that funding for public transport. I think the idea of the subsidy used to be viewed as something as a loss or almost wasteful. And I think a lot of what we've tried to do over the years is basically illustrate that transport and transport infrastructure is like health. It's like policing. It's like education. It's actually important for society to function. So I suppose that, in broader terms, will be the biggest challenge. Obviously, there's individual events. If you have safety incidents, if you have industrial relations scenarios, they can be very difficult on a specific event. But in broader terms, I think we've been part of a process that maybe kind of helped people, or convinced people of the fact that the reason that a lot of other countries have very developed public transport networks is because they've invested in them and they don't regard it as a loss to fund public transport.
Okay. Now, getting to the subject at hand, we might as well deal with it. The Cork-Middleton railway line opened in 2009. Was that always tagged as the Cork-Middleton line, or was it ever tagged as the Cork-Youghal railway line?
Certainly in that funding, it was Cork Middleton. I think there obviously has over the years been views about expanding it further, but that was an investment under Transport 21, which was the big transport investment program from the Celtic Tiger era. And just with the timing of the funding that came through, the three lines that opened up or reopened, if you like, during that time, effectively were funded. Or the funding was granted towards the tail end of the Celtic Tiger, and they all opened really when the downturn had started to hit. So that's the Glentonne to Middleton section, so the Cork Middleton service, which obviously branches from the Cork Cove line at Glentonne.
Was a feasibility study done for the Cork Middleton side of the track, the running of it?
Yes, it was.
And why wasn't that carried on to Youghal?
Well, simply it wasn't funded. We don't, I suppose, have discretion, really. And this is public money. This was studied under Transport 21 at the time, which the Department of Transport and the government endorsed. We would have done studies prior to that. We would have done studies like the Strategic Rail Review back in 2003, We would have done studies since then in terms of Rail Vision 2030, which in very high level looked at the potential for other rail lines, and Midleton Yall didn't come recommended as part of those. Really, public railways, as opposed to other forms of public transport, rely on higher density.
But Barry, sorry, no, I have to interrupt you down. I'm not being argumentative, but I'm just trying to put points of listeners that we are listening to down here, commuters, travellers, people who commute to work, commute to hospital appointments, commute to colleges or school. I can't understand that in 2009, the Cork-Midleton railway line was sanctioned, the research feasibility plan was done, but there was an existing rail line in place for Yall. Why was that not looked at that stage?
It wasn't funded to be looked at.
By whom?
By the Department of Transport, by the government of the day.
Have you ever questioned, bearing in mind that you're now in charge of communications with Irish Rail or in Rodairn, have you ever questioned why they left the horse bolt before the gate was shut, pardon the pun?
Well, I don't regard the gate as being shut, because we still own that property and we still own that alignment. But what I would say is that when the strategic rail review was undertaken in 2003, there was a lot of, right around the country, not just Midleton to Yall, but there were a lot of potential railway lines that either local authorities or local communities would have expressed an interest in seeing developed. And that assessed all of those, and it recommended Cork Midleton to be funded. It didn't recommend Midleton to Yall. So that was the basis then that Transport 21 came from, or the rail investment under Transport 21 came from.
And back in 2009, were there not lobbies made to continue the line from Midleton to Yall?
Not that I recall, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I was at the public inquiry myself for that took place in Midleton when we were opening the line, which looked at the proposals. And again, I would say that we own the alignment. It's not like, for example, one of the other two lines that we opened up during this time, which was the line up to Dunboyne in County Meath, where when that was closed in the 50s and 60s, all the line was sold off, and one of the challenges of re-establishing that line was...
So speaking of your ownership of the line, Barry, and I'm sorry if I sound rushing you, but I have a limited amount of time and we have a lot, again, pardon the pun, we have a lot of ground to cover. Speaking of your ownership of the line, for example, a question raised here is the cost of the station house here in Yall. It's in disrepair, but it's still owned by Irish Rail or in Rodairn. How much is that costing per year to maintain?
I don't have that figure. I'm certainly happy to get it for you. It's CIE Property that would own it, as opposed to Aaron Darren directly. The property is vested in CIE, but it would be relatively minimal. It's something that, as you say, hasn't been upgraded, but we...
But we're told here in Yall that Irish Rail or CIE Properties, as you say, or the CIE Group, are investing a lot of money in the upkeep, the maintenance, and indeed insurance rights for that property, for what effectively is running to Reckonroon and is an eyesore. Does that make economical sense for you?
Well, as I say, we have to prioritise what funds we have in the active railway and service. That is the priority for us. We are, I should stress, notwithstanding the improvements of the economic situation, we're still underfunded for the rail service that we deliver. That's not us saying it, that's the Department of Transport and the National Transport Authority. So one of the commitments under the current government investment programme for the NDP is that by 2021 we'll be funded properly for the existing network, and that is one of the reasons that new lines aren't being considered at this point in time, is that you need to fund what we have correctly before you start considering opening new lines.
The thing I enjoy speaking to people in offices like yourself, you lead me into next questions, which is fantastic. I'm given the figure of 413,000 journeys from Cork to Midleton. Would that be an approximate or an accurate figure, or where is it in the real term?
Yeah, no, and as I say, of the three lines that reopened, it was clearly the most successful, the Cork Midleton, and 413,000 journeys is what was made on the line in 2017, and we'd expect that to grow again this year.
So in the eyes of Irish Rail or in Rodairn, or indeed the CIE Group, does that run at a loss or profit of 413,000?
all of our railway lines require public service subvention. So it depends what some people define loss, profit and loss based on what comes in at the fare box versus the costs. If you're on that, then because it is generating an economic return, it is worth putting public money into to supplement that. So yeah, it doesn't cover its costs from fares, but that's not what public transport is about. Public transport is about economic return, not just simple profit and loss.
Okay, I'd put it another way. If you're running at, you know, even if you're breaking even at the moment with the Cork Middleton line, and bearing in mind the population explosion that has taken place here in Youghal, East Cork, West Waterford, I mean, you're looking at areas, Castlemartyr, Killa, McGeely, Dungourney, all those areas that constantly travel, commute to, as I said in the introduction, to work, hospital appointments, college, schools, social events. If you're saying that you might be just about breaking even on the Cork Middleton run, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to extend that line and bring in more revenue?
No, as I say, it is loss making. So you would need additional funding, and we're not correctly funded for our existing network. Now you say there's population explosion or population growth. You know, the population of Youghal, for example, is about 8,000. Now, in railway terms, that's not a big population.
But that's for Youghal. 8,000 people is a conservative figure. I mean, you know, when you look at adults, children, grandparents, when you look at the surrounding areas, as I say, that's just Youghal townland. But like when you look at people like Castlemartyr, Killa, Dungourney, you know, that can't be an adequate figure.
This is low density dispersed development. And one of the reasons that Cork Middleton worked, and one of the reasons that it was opened, is because the local authorities ensured that development was concentrated around the line. And that's what, if people want to see railways expand, then they have to make sure that their local authority is developing that way. Things like one-off housing, things like dispersal, are the enemy of rail transport, because that you cannot efficiently operate a rail service with such a dispersed population. Right now, as I say, because of getting to a point where our current network needs to be adequately funded first, and don't forget, the government have already made the decisions for the next 10 years of investment of 2018 to 2027. And it doesn't provide for extension of the line beyond Middleton. So that funding will not be available to us.
Are you privy to the feasibility survey or study that was carried out in 2009 for the Cork-Middleton rail line? For example, was it ever brought into context, or, you know, the conversation, did it ever enter the conversation, what I just mentioned, the population boom, the increase in people living in the East Cork catchment area? Like, surely that must have been, is that part of a feasibility plan when you're carrying out such a plan, or are you privy to that?
Well, what happened, we will carry that out. But as I say, the Strategic Rail Review, which the Department of Transport commissioned in 2003, said these are the lines which make economic sense to reopen. And Cork to Middleton was the line they decided. So it is from that they approved it under Transport 21 and required us to produce a business case. So we can't just run off down the line and waste public money on something which isn't going to be funded.
Okay, and you know, like, at the end of the day, no matter what way it sounds, I'm with you on it, because I understand. I travel regularly the Cork-Middleton line and I see the numbers literally are not there. I'm just querying if the service was enhanced, would it enhance the number of people travelling?
But the costs, because you've got the cost of establishment of the line. Don't forget.
Okay, so how much ballpoint figure, right? I've been given a figure of 5 million euro for 1 mile of track. This is sensationalism being given by different people, right? As you sit here right now, a price for the railway line from Youghal to Middleton, what would you estimate it at?
It's not something I would like, because, you know, costs have changed so dramatically. If I look at, for example, the Middleton line itself, and going back to it, I mean, you were talking about, you know, 100 million euro investment to establish the Middleton line. So you do have to build from that you're into nine-figure sums to establish these services. My apologies. It was 75 million euro investment in Glentown to Middleton. So you know, these, it isn't a cheap investment. Therefore, that's why the economic return has to be there to develop. So that's the best thing I can do is actuality.
Oh, that's fine, and I appreciate your candidness and your honesty. And I'm sorry if I'm asking questions outside of your remit, but it is a fairly hot subject down here in Ireland, and I'm sure you appreciate that. Another question I have here, according to the Department of Finance figures, right, Ireland... By 2020, we're asked to reduce our, or we've committed to reducing our carbon emission targets down to 20%, okay? Now, if by 2020 we don't achieve these targets, we are liable to be fined €600 million per year by the European Union. Are you aware of these figures?
Yes, absolutely.
And where are you on that?
Well, our... contribution to that is that we've reduced our emissions by 39%. That is by investment in our fleet. That is by putting fuel efficiency measures into place. And we have identified over the 10 years of the coming National Development Plan where we can dramatically reduce emissions further. I mean, railways will help you do that, but it needs the population because, frankly, an empty train will waste more energy than cars. So you need the population. So, for example, the only railway line in the country that closed during the economic downturn was the Waterford to Rosslare line, because quite simply the numbers on board didn't cover costs. But effectively, you had a train which, you know, with the best will in the world, a diesel train is going to have emissions, and with 20 or 30 people on board. Now, that's half a bus load. It's not a train load. So that's why that line closed. So that, if you like, just running a train doesn't automatically deliver you environmental savings. The train needs to be busy for those environmental savings to be delivered. And that's where the focus of investments of the 10 years coming has to take place, both in terms of converting some of our busier lines to electric power, and also on our intercity trains, converting those to hybrid technology, so as we can build on and what they say is already almost a 40% reduction in emissions, and make our contribution to the overall state goals, albeit that the state unfortunately looks set to miss them by quite a distance.
Because in Germany, I'm sure you're aware, they're currently trialling hydrogen power trains. Would that ever be on the cards for Irish Rail?
Technology obviously develops all the time, and we're certainly open to that. But right now, one of the things that we are about to do is place orders for what we would believe to be up to 500 to 600 carriages over the coming decade, which will predominantly be electric powered. And that will allow us to basically move to a situation where 70% of the journeys on our network will be powered by electricity, and with obviously the potential for low emission services as a result.
So as we sit here on the 8th of November 2018, truly and honestly, Barry Kenny, as the head of communications in Irish Rail, when or if do you see an Irish a rail line coming back to you?
I certainly don't see it in the coming decade because it's not funded under the National Development Plan. Beyond that, I think it's unlikely. Certainly over the medium term, but in the longer term, if it's something that people want, then they need to agree to the type of higher density development that I was talking about, because that's what underpins and that's what makes a railway line sustainable.
When last was a feasibility or plan carried out on the prospects of this?
As I say, in 2003, the strategic railway.
And that was the last one?
That was
15 years ago.
It is, but that was at a time when economic projections over the coming 10 years would have taken us far beyond where we are now because of the nature of, I guess, the unquestioning view that the Celtic Tiger would continue the way that it was. So it did provide for population growth that far outstrips, or economic growth, I should say, that far outstrips where we are now. And as I say, the government have assessed under the NDP what the transport requirements are for the next 10 years, and it's certainly not funded in that.
So categorically, you're stating right now, people of Yall and surrounding areas, the train line will not be back for minimum 10 years plus, if at all.
As I say, it's certainly not covered there. My own, and this is I guess an assessment as opposed to a company point of view is that it is very unlikely in the medium term that if it's ever to be restored, is very, very much a long-term prospect. We have to fund our existing network properly first, and the type of population development that needs to happen to support a railway line does not appear to be there at the moment.
Okay. Any plans for feasibility study or, any other investigation or studies?
Well, right now we are facilitating the County Council in their study in a greenway on the alignment. That's something that the CIE property have been facilitating. The thing about greenways is that they ensure that the alignment can be protected. They're a good public amenity in the shorter term, but it also means that it protects the alignment from encroachment, so that if at some point in the future the circumstances in terms of the economy and population decree that a railway line is economically viable, that you've got the alignment there, that it's protected. So that's something that we're facilitating for.
So you're involved in the negotiations for the greenway, yeah?
We've been facilitating the study by Cork County Council.
Okay, and in that study, because the reason I'm asking this is it was stated here on this radio station by someone, and I just want to get clarity on it. Someone claimed on this radio station recently that if the greenway goes ahead, the existing rail lines that are in place in situ will be tarmacadamed over, and in 10 or 15 years, if we decide that there is enough enough demand there for a line, that the tarmacadam will have to be dug up. How accurate or how untrue is that?
That's what you would do, because you're protecting the alignment. Now, the rails that are there right now are not usable for a rail service. They would have to be replaced anyway. So it's not a consideration. That would be an absolute minimal cost in the context of re-establishing a railway line. So that is effectively what happens when you have an alignment that's converted to a greenway, that ultimately you would then, if it ever happened that you re-establish a railway, the alignment is protected by the very fact of the greenway being there.
And I know I asked you earlier, but I've had a question in there and I have to ask you. Can you confirm whether the Cork Middleton line is running at a loss or profit?
Oh, it's running at a loss.
It's running at a loss, categorically.
As is the Dublin-Cork line.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We get public service obligation funding from the NTA because it generates an economic return, because it is considered to be of a sufficient societal benefit.
Do the NTA contribute towards your cost of investing in rolling stock?
Yes, they would. They under the both the National Transport Authority and the Department of Transport would provide for funding. So under the NDP, over the coming 10 years, they're providing €2 billion in capital investment. So that's separate from the year to year in capital investment to get more trains, to develop our infrastructure, to improve speeds on intercity lines, so that we can play the best possible role on the existing network.
So I have one unrelated question here, but it's still related because it's a valued listener of mine. A message to the people of Youghal and East Cork who are, undecided, or, what message would you give in relation to the greenway versus the railway?
Well, ultimately, that's something that the community themselves have to decide. But I would just put the facts down that the railway is not being funded. That's under the government national development plan. Our assessment at a high level looking at it is that it isn't likely in the medium term, and that the greenway developments are being funded at the moment. So that is something the community has to assess whether they want to go that route. But as I say, the County Council, we are facilitating their study on it.
And I think at the beginning you mentioned the year 2031, yeah?
Sorry?
You mentioned in terms of feasibility studies or whatever, you mentioned 2031 at the start of the interview, yeah?
Broader kind of overview report on rail in 2030, which we carried out in 2010, and looking, I suppose, at the future potential, which was looking at things like electrification and frequency as well. So it wouldn't have been specific to Youghal.
Okay, so we'll put that subject to bed. The rail line is not coming back to Youghal in the foreseeable future. I don't see it happening in my lifetime. As I say, it's a pity because I live in Middleton. I commute quite regularly on the train from Middleton to Cork. York and Cork to Middleton. It is a fantastic service, but unfortunately, again, in Rural Ireland, we've been overlooked, yeah?
I mean, don't forget, only three lines were re-established.
I know. I'm trying to be antagonistic, and I shouldn't. And I thank you for your openness. I have a question in there from a listener, Barry. Would I ask Barry, why not have a system where the elderly and people with limited mobility could phone in 2 hours before a journey and have a ramp available? The gap is very wide in Kin Station, and to jump on and off these people is a problem. When you say no staff are available, ask them where you claim when you hurt yourself. That's from a listener. I'm sorry now if it sounds muddled. So basically, there is a system in place where you can ring ahead and ask for a ramp on entrance or exit to the train, yeah?
Yes, there is. And I mean, the Cork-Dublin trains always have staff on board. The Kent station would have staff there as well. So it shouldn't be an issue in terms of assistance being available. And on our wider intercity routes, we are putting more staff on board, actually, in the coming weeks and months.
But because where we are geographically, I suppose these people are speaking of the Middleton service. Like, there are no staff available in Middleton to provide a ramp on or off the train, should there not?
For advance, if people contact in advance, we'll ensure that that is available. And it is something that we're studying in terms of just, you know, what additional resources we need to improve accessibility, because we do accept that that is something that needs to be better. There needs to be a gap between the train and the platform, simply for...
Well, we understand that, but where the gap is excessive and is proving an issue to elderly or infirm people. How do these people make these arrangements? Do they contact Irish Rail, or what do they do?
Yes, they do. You can contact us at 1850 366 222. Or you can email access@irishrail.ie.
1850 366 222, or email Irish Rail. Barry, I thank you for taking the call. You know, I suppose if anything, we can just push this thing out of sight and kick it to dust, because unfortunately it will not be coming back. What we need here in Yall, people in Yall are trying to improve the town, and at the moment we're eyeing up, we have a big event coming up for the next 3 years, Ironman, and I suppose it's all staying positive. We need to get rid of, however we get rid of, the eyesore that is the railway house. I'm sure that'll be done in due course, yeah.
Well, as I say, that's something to address directly with CIA Property. I'm not personally aware of if there's protections on the building or what's required, but I have to say I was in Yall during the summer for the first time in a long time, probably since going to Perks when I was a kid. So it was, it is a gorgeous setting, and I understand the potential and how people are anxious to see it fulfil and develop.
Yeah, because it is a fabulous town to be in, you know. I work here and I did live here for a while. The people are wonderful, and I'm sure they just feel a small bit aggrieved. But sure, look, don't shoot the messenger, as they say. Listen, thanks for taking the call, and we'll talk again soon, yeah?
Thanks, Jerry. Like talking to you.
Thanks, Barry. Have a good day. Cheers, thanks. Barry Kenny there, he is the Corporate Communications Manager in Rodin.